sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Picking up at verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died."
And then starting with verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, there are a lot of characters in stories that we like. If you think about your favorite story, probably it's the character in it that's as interesting to you as what happens. You know, if you're like Rooster Cogburn, you know, the character John Wayne plays is just as important as the story. Or if you like Buzz Lightyear, the character is just as important as the story in Toy Story. You know, no matter what the story is, the characters in it are important. And so a story is this mixture of what happens to them and how they respond to it. So when we come to the Gospels, and especially in John, the story is about what Jesus does and about him, but it's primarily about how people respond to what Jesus does. So if you read the miracles in the book of John, that he has kind of these seven signs that Jesus performs and the teachings that he gives in between those, after each one of those, he will tell you how people responded. He will say, some believed because of this. Or he will say, some left him. Or the Pharisees plotted to kill him as a result of this. And so there's this really important part of the story here about how people respond to what Jesus does. And in this story, I felt it was important that we read the whole thing. I know it's a long reading. Because what Jesus does and how they respond to him can help us to understand our own experience with Jesus. And so we have in this story, we have some interesting characters. We've got Lazarus. And his sisters refer to him as the one you love. I don't know why Jesus loved Lazarus. Maybe he was really good at jokes. You know, I can relate to that because I'm really good at jokes. I don't know. Maybe they had some things in common. Maybe he liked a really good football team. I can relate to that because I like a really good football team. But something about it, that Lazarus and Jesus were friends. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus had friends, not just disciples, not just people he taught, but he had people he liked to hang around with. People who knew that he loved them and that he loved. Now, Lazarus doesn't do a whole lot in this story. He just gets sick and dies and gets buried, and then he comes out of the grave, I guess. So it is kind of big, but, you know, the story's about Lazarus, but he's not really doing a whole lot other than, of course, I've got sisters too, so he does what he's told to do. That's how that works when you've got sisters. I have four of them, so I know exactly how that works. He has these two sisters. He does what he's told, and that's his part in the story, other than Jesus loves him. And then there's Martha, who, in my opinion, is probably the firstborn because she's kind of bossy. And any firstborns here that will admit it? Okay. But she's kind of in charge, you know. She has this conversation with Jesus. She's running out, going out to meet him. She's the one who wants to know what's going on. That's Martha. And that's okay. The Bible says Jesus loved Martha. Puts her first. He loved her. He cared about her. They were friends. And then there's Mary, who probably was the baby, you know, because she cried a lot. Any babies here? Okay. Not that that's a bad thing, but Mary, you know, she was attached to Lazarus. It broke her heart. But she loved Jesus too, and Jesus loved her. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were friends. He was comfortable in their home. He would stay with them because he felt welcome. We don't get that a whole lot in Scripture, this picture of Jesus feeling welcome. It's kind of like he's an odd character, you know? He's different. He doesn't really fit in, except in this story and with these people. He finds this place where he's welcome, where he can just be himself with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's a pretty sweet picture of part of Jesus' life, of who he is and how people responded to him. And then we got the disciples in the story there at the very first. That's who Jesus is talking to, and that's who he's with. And they kind of disappear after that, but they're pretty important part. And you know, I'm sure that it was confusing to them because Jesus says, this is not going to end in death. And so they get their hopes up. You know, he's going to be okay. And he says he's sleeping. And they say, well, that's a good sign. And then, no, Jesus says, no, Lazarus is dead. And so which is it, Jesus? Is this going to end in death? Or is Lazarus dead? Truth is, they were both right, you know. He was dead, but that's not where the story ended. But at the end of this interchange between Jesus and his disciples, you know, Jesus says, well, I've got to go to Lazarus and to Mary and to Martha. And the disciples say, well, you know, they just tried to kill you last week over there. It's probably not a good idea. And Jesus insists on going. And Thomas, doubting Thomas as we call him, he says, well, if you're going to go there and die, we're going to go there and die too. And so there was something about this connection between Jesus and the disciples that wasn't just, you know, I think he's a pretty smart guy. I think there's something different about him. But there was this attachment that they were willing to die with Jesus. This is before the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, before they really understand how powerful he is, before they really know the full extent of his identity and his relationship with God the Father. They're still willing in this moment to die for him. And so we read this stuff about the signs and the miracles that Jesus does and the things he teaches, but there must have been something more about Jesus. There must have been something about the way he loved and cared about people that invited them into this kind of relationship where Mary and Martha and Lazarus would be his friends and where his disciples were willing to die with him. There was something about Jesus that invited them into something different. And so Jesus goes to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, to Bethany. And I think that there are three things here that we can learn from how these characters respond to this relationship with Jesus. And the first one is that Mary and Martha invite Jesus into their lives. Mary and Martha knew that it was dangerous for Jesus to come to Bethany, but they invited him to come anyway. They loved him. They cared about him. I don't think they wanted to put him in danger, but they needed him in their home and in their lives. Probably the best prayer in Scripture is those words, Lord, the one you love is sick. That's all they said because they knew Jesus. They knew that if he knew that Lazarus was sick, that he would come because they knew how much he cared about them. And that's the thing for us. If we know, if we really believe that Jesus cares about us, then our prayers will be different. Our lives will be different. And I know I talk about this a lot, this idea of really believing that God loves us, but I think that that changes everything. I think that that's where we start, is that if we get to that place where we really believe that God loves us. Mary and Martha believed it. They believed that he cared about Lazarus. Not just cared about him, but he loved him. And so when he was sick, they asked Jesus to come. They didn't even ask him to come. They just told him that Lazarus was sick, and they knew that he would come. And so we get to that place where we invite Jesus into our lives over and over and over again. And I know there's this sense in which God initiates all this. God invites us first, and that's always true. We respond to that. God invites us to come home, to have our sins forgiven, to discover a new life. How do we respond to that? We respond to that by opening our hearts and our homes to Jesus. And it sounds nice and kind of cheesy, and I know all that, but I think that's how it works. I think we do those nice, cheesy things. We open our hearts to Jesus, and we dare to believe that he really does care for us. Be like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. make a place where he feels comfortable and at home. That becomes who we are. That's how we respond to he loved us. John, who writes this gospel, also writes in his letter, he says, we love God. Why do we love God? Because he loved us first. We love him because he loved us first. And until we understand that, and until we really believe that, it's just duty and obligation. It's just trying harder and a standard that we think we have to live by. None of that entered into the mind of Mary or Martha when Lazarus was sick. What entered into their minds was Jesus cares about us. And he will want to know that Lazarus is sick. I don't think they just sent that letter because they wanted Jesus to come. They sent it because they knew that Lazarus would want to, that Jesus would want to know that Lazarus was sick. Do we really think Jesus cares that much about us? That he wants to know our heart, our hurts, that he wants to know the places where we're broken? Or is he just kind of bored with that? Does he really kind of not care? They knew that Jesus would want to know about Lazarus. And so they invited him into their lives. They wanted him to come. We can do that. The second thing they did is they watched for his arrival. I think they knew Jesus was coming. Even after Lazarus was buried, they still believed that Jesus was coming. They waited and they watched until he came. And he showed up. Not when they expected, but he showed up. He came. He came to them. Sometimes I don't think we really believe Jesus is going to show up in our lives. We have these doubts and these questions. You know, there was this movement started on Twitter this week, Why I Didn't Report. And, you know, it has to do with politics a little bit, but that's not the real point. The real point is these women and men were telling about why they did not report abuse or assault that they suffered when they were younger. And if you read those stories over and over again, they talk about shame and guilt and this idea that nobody would believe them. And there are stories of people who did report to teachers or to police officers or to parents, and they were not believed. They were shamed or told to be quiet. And I think sometimes that's why we don't come to God, why we don't pray, why we don't give our lives more fully to what God calls us to. It's because we think he will not care, that he won't believe us, that he won't show up or stand up for us, that he will leave us hanging. Mary and Martha believed, I think, that Jesus would show up. They expected it. They watched for it. They waited for it. And you know, we read that thing when he comes and they say, you know, Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And we read that kind of as an accusation, but I'm not sure that that's what that was. I think when you know that you're loved, I think they thought, if only. Like, wow, Jesus. Man, if you'd been here, things would have been different. Because they still believed in who he was and what he could do. Not an accusation that you were late and you didn't care, but man, if only. And I think we do that sometimes. If only God cared about me, things would be different. And we let that if only keep us from expecting God's presence. God always shows up. He's always present, always at work in our lives. We don't always recognize it. We can't always really tell exactly where it is or what it is. Sometimes silence is what God says to us. Sometimes that sense of absence is what God is doing in our lives. But God has promised us that nothing can separate us from his love. God always is at work in our lives. Mary and Martha expected Jesus to show up. And then the third thing they did was they were willing to be part of whatever God chose to do. You know, I worked at the funeral home for 10 years, and sometimes people would die in a death that was a a bad death, a tragic or a violent death, and families would still want to see the body. And we would tell them, no, you don't really want to. I think that's what Martha was doing when Jesus comes to the grave and he says, roll away the stone. And Martha says, no, Jesus, I know you love Lazarus. And I know you want to see him one more time. But that's not really what you want to do. You see, Martha thought Jesus wanted to see a corpse when Jesus wanted to do something extraordinary. Jesus wants to do something extraordinary in our world. God wants to do something better than we can imagine, bigger than we can hope for, if we give him the opportunity. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus because he cared about our hurts. He cares about our tears. He wasn't crying for Lazarus because he knew that in a few minutes he was going to bring Lazarus back. I don't think he was even weeping for Mary and Martha, even though he was sharing their sorrow. He cared about them. But I think he was weeping for us and about the things he wants to do in our lives that we miss, the ways he wants to show up that we don't understand because we get tired of waiting and we take matters into our own hands, or because we think it should look like this when he wants to do something different. I think sometimes we don't expect very much from God. I think sometimes if he can, just play around the edges of our life, then we're content. God invites us to be part of something extraordinary. He makes us new people, and he does something new in our world. There's an interesting story. Right after this happens, the Pharisees decide, we got to kill Jesus. Their response to this is, we got to kill Jesus. And then in chapter 12, we got to kill Lazarus too, because everybody's starting to believe because of this story of what Lazarus has happened to Lazarus. But in chapter 12, there's that picture of Mary washing the feet of Jesus. In chapter 6, it says 6 days before the Passover, Jesus comes back, in chapter 12, comes back to Bethany, to their home, to Mary and Martha and Lazarus's home. And it says while he's there, Lazarus is reclining at the table with him, and Martha is serving him, and Mary takes a jar of perfume, a very expensive perfume, and she breaks it, and she pours it on the feet of Jesus, and she wipes his feet with her hair and washes them with her tears. That's how you respond to Jesus. That's how you respond to this Jesus who loves you and comes into your life and does extraordinary things. And you respond by serving. And you respond by spending time in his presence. He invites us into this relationship where we believe that he loves us and that he always will. Let's pray. Father, we believe that you are active in our world, that you are present and real, and we want to respond to you and to these actions with faith, to invite you into our own lives, to expect you to show up, and we want to be part of the extraordinary things that you want to do. We don't know what those will look like or even what they are, but help us to recognize them when they happen. And Lord, this morning, help us to believe that you love us. To believe that you love us the way you loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That you want to be with us in our sorrows and in our sickness. And you want to be with us in our celebrations and in our homes and in all those places we find ourselves. We thank you, Father, that you have sought us, and now we invite you again into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, please.